morning. It certainly is a blessing to be here. It's been a blessing to be part of Faith Fellowship here. And we're a little nervous up here, but we do have a story. And we'd like to share our testimony. And we'd like to glorify God while we're doing this. And so I'm probably going to let Iva share first. Give her, she can share her story. But there's a scripture here. As I was thinking of our journey through life, and in Romans chapter 6, 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." And I praise the Lord that it doesn't stop there. And we have scripture, the same scripture goes on there and says, but the gift, the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so if I look at that verse, it's through Jesus Christ that we can have peace in our life. And so I'm just going to turn the time over to Iva, and she can, I'm not sure, we may switch back and forth a little bit, but so I'll turn the time over to her.
Yes, I am nervous about this, but I trust that God is faithful. I will start off with Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. In the days of the old covenant, they retained a good report through the faith, received not the promise. In verse 40, that's 39 and 40, God had, having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And my Bible said, or complete. And I guess we can lengthen this list or not if our name is not there. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And I guess that's a point that has really struck home to me, is how Jesus is the author of our faith, and he's also the finisher. So it's important that we have a start, but it's also important that we finish well. So that's my goal, and I need your prayers for that, and I need your fellowship for that. So I will start on my story. I can truly say my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. So please pray that my story can be shared in the power of the timeless and unchanging, drawing, convicting, changing, and keeping of the Holy Spirit. And my Savior can be lifted high, the Lord Jesus Christ. I grew up in a somewhat normal, old order Amish home. I was born in a family of four. My sister was 14 years older than I, and then I had two brothers in between there. I was the youngest. My early home life was mostly filled with security and peace. Yes, as I grew older, some unhealthy, or I should say untaught, thinking patterns were instilled in my young mind. But as I grew in my personal walk with the Lord and saw my own undoneness, mercy and the long-suffering and just plain unconditional love has been wonderful in relationship healer. A glimpse of my early home would be, we moved home on Grandpa's farm when I was 5 years old, and I guess if I had to say I had a childhood hero, it would have been him. It was so delightful to follow him around on the farm, doing his minor chores. Also going away with the horse and buggy with them was so much fun. And I also helped Grandma a lot in the house as she was getting older. School was something I was very excited about, but guess that's when I got exposed to the real world around me. And then I realized I had a very sheltered life before that. A lot of mocking and immorality went on, and that is when I realized that my older siblings had endured a lot of mocking and all that goes with that, and I was next in line. I had always loved my dad and mom, and I guess I never had thought them different. But yes, my dad didn't have management like some and came from a different area and was somewhat a misfit, I guess. But after his death, my aunt filled me in on more details of his growing up years. And it just broke my heart again and again. And I had such a longing to reach out to him with love and understanding, but it was too late. He grew up in a home where the Depression years took a direct hit. He was born in 1929, and my dad had Parkinson's. His dad had Parkinson's, and it affected his reasoning and emotional area. Well, they lost the home farm, and the three boys were put out in different homes. And the relatives had stepped in and done that, and my grandma actually never really got over that. And some of the boys were put in good homes, and some of them were not, and Dad's experience was less than ideal, but he never talked much about it, just a comment now and then not often. It's interesting how my cousins say the same thing about their dad in that area. Grandma would say she would watch the road on Saturday evening to see if the boys are coming home for the weekend. She never quite agreed with the phrase, the good old days. She became 103 years old, and she saw three centuries. She was born in 1898 and died in 2000. My dad also had to quit school after fifth grade, which also hindered him a lot in life. There was somewhat a role reversal in my home, but it was somewhat out of necessity. My mom was a school teacher, and she was very gifted, but also no teaching on submission and leadership, and the results are understandable. Dad could read, and his English Bible was all in tatters when he passed away. My aunt said he almost responded in one of the tent meetings years ago when he was young. I believe she said it was Andrew Genzi. I strongly believe he had a grain of mustard seed in him. I am blessed to be his daughter. Now, the drawing of the Spirit of God began at a young age. I remember my earliest fear of dying was about 8 or 10 years old. And I tried to read anxiously in my little German and English New Testament. Then I was introduced to Mailbox Club through my Baptist cousin, and I really enjoyed it. When they said I could know that I'm saved by praying this prayer, I did, but nothing happened, really. And then I told my mom, and she said, "We don't believe in being saved." So some questions arose in my young mind, but no answers. I was a book lover, and I read anything that I could find. Some was edifying, and some was not. That's something I'm so grateful for. My parents let me be exposed to some healthy reading material through Pathway, and I found Christmas Carol Kaufman's books, which I can say her books were life-changing for me. I would read Light from Heaven and just so wish I could be in a culture where we could go in revival meetings and respond and talk openly about Jesus. I remember praying in front of my bed and committing my life to Jesus, and really having this glimmer of peace as I went about my usual duties, but knowing instinctively it's just not something to discuss with anyone. And I accepted it. Well, the years went by, and I joined the youth. And I dreaded our dating practices, but felt trapped. My dad's family was all New Order or Mennonite, but one family, and I was instilled the wrong of their change in practices, like it just makes them better than thou, and that's worse. So I truly wanted to obey and honor my parents, and now I look back over my life, I am in awe at the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. I met Joe, and finally, when I was about ready to be baptized, I wrote him a letter of what this step means to me, and I think he was embarrassed as he didn't want to talk about it. I just felt like, oh, I guess I'm just different, and I didn't question his faith. After baptism, I got so guilty about our courtship, and I couldn't go on, and I finally told him my struggle. He tried to understand, but he personally saw no need to change, but agreed to a certain degree, and so we stepped into marriage. And now the changing power of the Holy Spirit. That's the most exciting part. The first year of our marriage, my sister Susie was 35 years old and single, but very healthy, though we thought. If I had to describe her, I would say she was an independent little workhorse. She was out in the fields helping when needed and helped out other young families where after her death, the one mom said, "I just know she worked too hard." Well, 3 months or so after our marriage, she had a heart spell where they diagnosed her with an enlarged heart and just a plain worn out heart. 70 to 80 year old heart in a young, strong body is how they described it. Transplant was the only option, but that was 30 years ago, and it wasn't even considered in our family. So she got so well again, and she decided the doctors were wrong, and it's not as bad as they said. And we all gladly supported her view. We were in total denial, which is what our family was extremely good at. So in May, 11 months after our marriage, and 2 months before our oldest son was born, my mom found her in bed one morning, and she had passed on. What a shock. 30 years later, it's amazing how certain instances still revive some of the same emotions. I think that's where I first learned to trust and lean on Joe. He walked with me, and he helped me grieve in a healthy way. I truly see where those early years of marriage can be so foundational if we let the storms of life draw us together. The rest of our story I will let Joe tell you as we journeyed together on the same ship. In our church experiences, I have to say, I have not regretted standing with him against all odds. When we moved 200 miles from all I ever knew, the lightning bolt of a thought that hit me in my little rental kitchen was, "I am giving you your heart's desire," and here I was weeping and carrying on instead of praising and rejoicing. Because my own unspoken heart's desire had always been to have a family that Jesus could be openly talked about and a husband that stands for truth. But I didn't hardly even express it in words. And I wish I could say I grew on in my spiritual journey and was always a life giver and the one reaching out. That's not my story. I did go through a very dark time. And this is probably the hardest part. I'm not sure how much I want to share. I've got a couple more pages. But I did go through a deep, dark depression in 2006, 2005. We were up in wall hunting for about 2 years. And I think I just let life get to me. There was things beyond my control. And then I wrote in here where I just simply let life get me down. Some of it stemmed from our change, our move, and some of it was hormonal. I was having some health issues, and I also had a minor surgery done. And it was probably just the fact that I experienced fellow born-again believers can also hurt each other. I think for 5 years now, we had been on a spiritual honeymoon where the new birth should take care of all misunderstandings and differences. But I found out different, that their differences do arise. And I let unforgiveness and bitterness take a root. And I guess what the enemy took advantage of, and I took advantage of that, it was like a platform where he attacked at me. I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't think. It was awful. But I turned to my Heavenly Father for help. I knew where the answer was. But I didn't feel connected there either. And I remember purposing out loud to God as I stood in front of my sink, "I will trust you even if I can't feel you. I will turn to my husband and through him I can feel your love for me." And I have this little book. I guess this is something, the reason I want to share this is the keeping power of the Holy Spirit. And if there's one person in here that struggles with a battle for the mind and finds help or encouragement, it'd be worth it. And this is the book I had right through that time where I took notes in church. And I remember sometimes I couldn't write fast enough. It was like I had also had a doctor's appointment right through that time, and I pled with my doctor for medication. I said, "I need something to sleep, and I have these awful thoughts." And then she asked me, "What are you doing to what are your steps you're taking, or what are you doing to cope? I had told her, I just get this, I pray and I don't feel God, but something is telling me just to throw myself under my husband's protection like never before. Then she looked at me, and I'll never forget it, because I felt I wasn't hearing from God. She said, and who told you that? I was like, oh, I am hearing from God. And that's when I realized I can't go on my feelings. I have to simply go on my faith. And that was a huge, a huge stepping stone in my spiritual life to learn we can't always go on our feelings. It just doesn't always feel them. Our faith doesn't always feel strong. And this little book is just some things I wrote in there. I wasn't sure how much there were some, you might get bored. It's just some growth that really helped me in my spiritual journey through that time. The one thing I found is, I pray that you reveal areas of my life that hinder my spiritual growth, and also reveal stepping stones that are late for me to step across the miry or turbulent waters. Too often I don't realize that all the while I'm floundering in the mire, there right beside me are stepping stones to protect and help me across. First I need is submission to God, which is what leads me to the stepping stones. When I don't submit to God, I don't find the stepping stones. Following Jesus is so safe and protecting. The stepping stone of submission to my husband is a large one. It has kept me out of so much pain and worry. And that was a huge one. The next stepping stone to, if someone is in this dark valley, is I praise you for revealing another stepping stone across the turbulent waters, is Isaiah 61, verse 3, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness or despair. This part of the verse just leaped out at me. Praising you, Jesus, will carry me safely across. And then another stepping stone was patience. Sometimes I feel so guilty that I still struggle, and I was like, I must not be born again. That's why I'm struggling. And I don't know how often I pray that if I'm not born again, Lord, I want you in my life. And sometimes I wonder if he wasn't smiling a little bit, because I was just sure there's something wrong with me. But then I found just being patient and waiting on his time, because I really wanted medication to get out of it, and my doctor refused to give it to me, because when I told her what I'm using to cope, she looked at me and she said, Iva, you're going to be okay. And that was just so tremendous, but it took about 6-7 months for me to get out of that. But I think God had a different plan than medication for me, which I am truly grateful. But it was a hard journey, but I wouldn't trade it now that I look back. You are the same. The sun and moon are never late in rising. This is another stepping stone about patience. Just the same you are in my life, always there. It's me who panics when the storms arise. And I see how much care and worry I could avoid if I just patiently wait for your sunshine again. And trust you will reveal your plan in your due time. I'm made aware that patience is a big stepping stone. And another thing was my desire for truth at all costs. There's a lot of lies and deception out there about depression. And yeah, if I would read something about depression, it usually just make me panic, and I was just all out for truth, and I wanted only truth. And this was another plea I had. My Lord, teach me thy truth. I know your truth sets me free. Teach me truth. I love truth. It is my lifeline. It is my only way to discern right from wrong. Dear Jesus, you said you are truth, and you wanted to bring us truth in human form to be our representative to God. The love for the whole truth and nothing but the truth comes only from your spirit. Lord, I feel your spirit ministering to my heart. What a solid, joyful ownership. I am yours. You bought me with your blood, and now live within me, and will never let anyone pluck me out of your Father's hand. You are ready to do the battle. All I need to do is stop fighting on my own, and the battle is yours. I think when I finally surrendered and just was okay with going through this valley, I just fought that valley for so long and felt so condemned that I was in that valley. And I just reached out to him, and it was a journey, but it was I look back and it was not in vain. It was worth it. And a huge victory. This is another victory point. I'm going to focus more on the victory points than on what actually the struggle was. If someone is in a battle right now, whatever you do, never give up. Go for the victory. It will come. I remember getting so weary at the dark thoughts that came out of nowhere. And just tell God, I will trust victory will come. I just don't know when. And I clearly remember, I don't know how many of you know Herbie, but I remember when he preached one Sunday, how some people, and I was just getting so weary of this battle for the mind, and he said how some people throw the towel in just short of the finish line. They're almost there, and they throw in the towel. And that gave me fresh courage. I was not about to give up. And a huge victory was when I realized I need to do more than just resist and put up my shield of faith when these darts come. That is all right and good. But sometimes you need more, and I need to go on the offense, not just the defense, not just put up my shield. And the defense, and that was huge. I would say in days, I felt myself being lifted out of darkness because I was now on treading on enemy territory. And if negative dark thoughts came, I would start praying. I'd have these sticky notes of my instant prayer list stuck all around where I wanted these names ready so that I could pray for them when I get these dark thoughts. So now if a negative dark thought came, I will start praying. And in days, I felt myself starting to feel pure, rippling joy again. It was so fragile, but it was so sure and so steadfast. And here's a few little quips that I also found in my little booklet. Faith is stronger than unbelief. Love is stronger than selfishness. Joy is stronger than self-pity. And courage is stronger than despair. And another thing is Romans 6:13 is the well of courage. And in there, it's like how we have to yield our members. It's action. Sometimes we have to use action. We can't just sit and pray and think, well, God has to do it. We have to actually use action. And God doesn't merely bring us out of the miry clay, but he also sets us on a solid rock and establishes our goings. And you do forget the battle. I want to encourage whoever is, if someone is struggling in the battle for the might, you do forget it. But there's some points I don't want to forget. Number one is we are more than conquerors through Christ, and that does not portray a defeated Christian life. And number two is victory will come. Sometimes it takes patience, sometimes it's instant. Not all battles are the same. Just don't stop short of the finish line. And number three is more preventative. I pray that I never want to get caught in that trap of depression again. And I pray that God puts out stop signs if I start on a wrong thinking path, and he does. And the Holy Spirit's promptings are warnings. And I pray to never let me be so consumed again with things that are beyond my control. And believe me, the stop signs come. Sometimes they don't even feel good. Through a little rebuke, or my husband asking, can you do something about it? Or maybe it's just plans that fail, and the list goes on. But just, it's amazing how those stop signs are there if I start thinking negatively again and just going in a negative downward spiral. And now for the church membership, I want to open myself up. If anyone sees anything in my life, I want to take that as a stop sign too, where I am going down a wrong path. So I open my life to you to talk to me. And I would like to be, I have a deep desire to be part of a church again. And I appreciate you all here at Faith, and I wish to become a member of the body and a fellow laborer in the harvest. The culture change has been different. I won't deny that, but my heart echoes the words of Ruth. For I know I want to be where Joe is. Where he goes, I will go. Where he lodges, I will lodge. And his people shall be my people. For his God is my God. And the Next verse I also really like there in Ruth, where he dies, there I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part him and me. And I guess that's, I feel like I have been an open book, but there's freedom in transparency. So yes, just continue to pray for me that I can keep on living a victorious Christian life.
Yeah, for my story now, as some of you probably know, I grew up probably about a mile down the road. We moved then when I'm not sure. My sisters, I see, are sitting back there. They could probably tell me some of the dates for me. But probably about a mile and a half, 2 miles from here. It's where my parents live now, so I grew up in this area. And if I think of growing up, I think my sisters would testify this. We had a very good home. We grew up in a very good home. My mom and dad did the best they knew. It wasn't a lot of spiritual. It wasn't. In fact, I was thinking about it. I didn't know that I was. After I was ordained, I was in Lindeville, New York, and they asked me to have devotions, and that was probably about 20 years ago. And I didn't know what the term devotion meant. I didn't know what the devotion, what was devotions. I didn't know. We didn't, as far as spiritually, there was a lot of spiritual things going on in our home there. But as I was growing up as a little boy, I had a lot of struggles. Going to school, I really struggled with school. I couldn't learn, and they finally figured out my eyes are probably one of the problems, and which are still a struggle for me. Nathan Yoder would probably have a name for it, but my one eye goes faster than the other, so it's hard for me to read. And my credit card number, the 3-digit card on the back, I want to say backwards. And so that's part of the problems that I had when I was growing up, and it made a struggle for school. And then in second grade, I failed second grade, and that just brought more struggles. And then I got a nickname I just despised, I hated. And I started feeling like a misfit. I just didn't fit in anywhere. And so that's kind of how my growing up was. And then going into my youth, I kept on struggling. I don't want to go into a lot of that, but I didn't have really. I had friends, but not really close friends. And I wanted to please my mom and dad, and yet I was rebellious. It was just a struggle. But I look back, and I look back and think back, I just marvel at the power of God. I just look at my whole life and what He has kept me from. I remember I was probably about 10 years old. I remember standing beside my grandpa as he passed on to eternity, and his death was he smoked, and he had lung cancer, and that was his death. And it was an awful, he literally suffocated, and that was his death. So at 10 years old, I made a commitment. I don't know that I really made a commitment to God, but I made a commitment to myself, I would never smoke. And I praise the Lord for that, because I did actually end up, my friends all started smoking, and I bought one pack of cigarettes, and that thought, at 16 years old, that thought come to me, and I got rid of it. And so I look at what God has all done in my life, even as a youth growing up. And then I worked at Homeco Industries up here, just 3-4 miles up the road, up here on 515. Started when I was 15 years old, doing some maintenance, outside maintenance work and cleaning and things like that. And I was there until I think I was 18 or 19. And that was very bad influence. So I started hanging around with guys from work there, went fishing with them, and And they tried to get me on drugs, but something in the back of my mind told me, don't go there. And there was time after time after time I refused drugs. And I just look back and I look at the power of God. I wasn't born again or anything, but something was telling me, don't go there. And I remember my dad was he was against rock music. And here's another thing I think we got, Glenn and I, Glenn is my brother, Glenn Mass, most of you probably knew that. But we just got our first rock music tapes, and here a friend of ours got killed. And we got so convicted because we knew Dad did not want us to have those, and then our friend gets killed. And I remember we disposed of them, we threw them away. And so I just look at what God's all done even before I was converted. And so at age 19, I believe it was, I decided I should get baptized because I wanted to get married. And if I look back at that, that baptism did not do anything to me. But I thought it would take care of my struggles. I thought it would take care of my sins. I thought I was okay with God, but it didn't take care of anything. And the only thing that changed in my life when I got baptized was I put away my motorcycle. I put away my clothes and started wearing Amish clothes again. I put away my radio and my tape player. But nothing else changed. I kept on doing some of the other things. And I still kept on sinning. And that's the way I stepped into marriage. We got married in 1990. And after we had two children, Stephen, our oldest, and Leah, which she's here, they're here, Justin and Leah are here today. I knew something was wrong. I knew there was something in my life, but I didn't know how to change. I didn't know what to do about it. And I forget the year, but I think it was about in 1994. I got very, very sick. I remember I even went to church. I think you took the two children along. I was too sick to go to church. I was running a high fever, and I got really, really sick. And that night, after she was at home, I got so sick I started going delirious. And I was at the point where the fever was so high, I couldn't think right, and I just wanted to swallow my tongue, or that's what I thought. You cannot swallow your tongue. It's impossible. Before that happens, you'll pass out and come. But that, in my mind, that's what I wanted to do. And so it's a long story how that all come about, but that was the beginning of my journey. I knew when I was that sick and I was battling all at once, I knew I was going to die. And that was the first thought: if I would die, I'm going to hell. There's no hope for me. And all these years after I was baptized, I thought because I was Amish, I was okay and everything's going to be okay. And that night I knew it is not. And I've never prayed in my life before. Until that night. And when I say that I did pray, we use the prayer book, but I'm saying from my heart that I actually call out to God, and I told God, I says, God, you know the person I am, and you know I think I'm dying, and I know I'm not ready to die, and I will make you a couple promises. If you give me life, and if you don't let me die, I will go make things right with my neighbors. And I will also read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I'll read the whole Bible. I'll start in the front and I'll read till I'm done. And he let me live. After the squad got there, I was feeling good and I told him, I'm fine, I'm going to be all right. My fever had broken and then it was still 106. So I don't know how, but I do think it affected my memory a little bit. So brothers, if I walk up to you and I don't say your name, that's probably why. because I cannot remember. And I ended up in the hospital for 4 days, and I come out of there, and I had panic attacks after panic attacks and after panic attacks. We would, because of swallowing, or thought I had to, I just wanted to swallow my tongue. It was a mind thing. And I had to have gum at all times in my pocket, or I would panic, because I had to have something in my mouth. And that whole summer was like a nightmare to me, because I would panic time after time, hyperventilate. And so Iva finally called Dr. Lehman and says, Joe needs medication. He can't go on like this. And Dr. Lehman says, no, Joe just needs to get a hold of himself. I can't give him medication. And I thank the Lord for that. And as I went, but I was searching and I was struggling, and there was a many a nights that I was so afraid that my sisters are probably learning some things they never heard before. But I was so afraid that we would get our two children up out of bed in the middle of the night, load them on a cart, and go across the road just to sleep with my in-laws, because I needed people there. Because I was living in fear. And before daylight, we'd pack everything back up and go home so the neighbors wouldn't see us. That was our life for that summer. And I started working at Steiner Turf up in Dalton. We built the Steiner tractors, and I was working in the assembly line there. And there was this man by the name of Virgil Schaum that goes to Sunlight up there in Maysville. And he was such a testimony to me. That's where I started really starting to get some convictions. I realized my language was bad. I just a lot of things, and I started sharing with him, and he shared it with me, and so that kept on going for a while. And then in 1999, I was ordained in the Old Order Amish Church. And that was a nightmare for me. I always said the best thing that come out of that was I lost 10 pounds. I could not read German, and that was a requirement. And I told my dad, I called him, I cannot preach. It is impossible. And Dad told me, he says, well, if you remember right, the scripture talks about a donkey speaking, and surely you can too. But there was something wrong in my life. I didn't have the Lord. And I was a wreck whenever I had to get up and preach a message without having the Lord in my life. And I knew something was wrong. And I'm going to quote a scripture in German, because this is a scripture we had to quote at every council church. So wir nun on, and I'm not sure I can quote it completely anymore. So wir nun on nom Herrn Herren Jesus Christus so wandelt in ihn seit gewurzelt im Bad in ihn wir gelehrt seit dem selblich reichlich dankbar. That verse probably changed a lot. It was probably part of the beginning of my search. And after church, a brother walked up to me and says, so you ministers quote that every Council Church, what does it mean? I says, I have no idea. He says, what? I says, I have no idea, because I couldn't read German. I didn't understand German. I probably understand German better now than I do a lot better than back then. And so he says, don't you think you should know what you preach? And that started getting me to think. So I went and looked up the verse. I had to do a lot of searching, and I finally found the verse. How many of you understood what I was saying? There's some of you who understood. But it's in Colossians chapter 2, in verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And then it goes on and says, rooted and built up in him, established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein in with thanksgiving. That is a scripture. And that's what opened my eyes, like, I need to really understand. But I had such a struggle. And I plead with Iva, I says, what does grace mean? Because I preached grace, dignod, grace. I taught that you do everything you can, and if you just can't overcome, even if it's sin, that's okay, God will take care of it. That's the way I preached it. So I would beg Iva, I says, what is truly is grace? And she tried to tell me, and I did not understand. And then in 2000, a year after I got ordained, I was on the search. I was desperate. I was reading scripture. And I would get so discouraged when I was studying. I remember time after time taking the Bible and just closing it real hard. This is hopeless. I can't. I don't get it. I can't. I can't preach. And I was out in the kitchen doing the dishes and weeping and crying because she seen my desperation. But in the winter of 2000, I believe it was in February, one Friday night, I was sitting there on my easy chair on the search, and I was reading the book Salvation Full and Free from Dan Mast. And I was reading the article Saved by Grace. And all at once, it was something happened to me. It was like Paul, it talks in scripture, it talks about Paul where the scales fell off of his eyes. And that's what happened. The scales fell off my eyes, and I was like, oh. I told Iva, I says, you got to come in here. See what I found? I says, I don't have to do it on my own. God did it for me. Jesus did it for me. And I remember just, yeah, she was a little concerned about me because I couldn't wait to go to church Sunday and preach. And in fact, I think she was glad the children were sick because I had something to preach. And so I went to a visiting church, and oh, I was up there, and I was telling everyone they have to get saved. By the time my message was over, I asked for testimony, and all the ministers told me they can't agree with my message. But it did not affect me. I went home not thinking about it until my best friend, a co-minister, come over that week to talk about something else. And I told him, I says, Junie, I says, you got to see this. And I went and got Salvation Full and Free, and I opened it up to him. I says, we're saved by grace. And he read it there, and he says, yeah, but that's not how that in German, it don't, that book don't say the same. And I said, yeah, we looked, and it really does. And he closed the book, and he walked out the door. And then I knew, because I thought everyone else knew, and I just didn't get it. And so that's when our journey began. So I started getting convicted after that, and I had a lot of restitution to make. I had a lot of sins to clear up. I was a very, very immoral man, very ungodly man. Even as a minister, when I look back at the power, the keeping power of the Holy Spirit, as soon as we got converted, then I was I was night after night, I don't know how many nights, way into the night, her uncle would be there and convincing me, eternal security, unconditional. You took the right step, but you got to take it a step further. Eternal security, unconditional. In fact, he told me, he says, I could live in adultery and still make it to heaven. My rewards just wouldn't be as big. And I look back at, we had no one else or hardly anyone else to communicate with. And though finally, after a time, we found friends just up the road from us, and we'd get back, we'd go to their house, and we'd sneak through the field and the fences and about once a week, and we'd get together and have Bible study. And so we finally decided we're going to move to Southern Ohio, West Union, Ohio, which created for a big struggle, moving 200 and some miles, leaving family. And we moved down there, and there was times I really questioned myself, why was God leading me down there? But I look back, and what a blessing it has been. It ended up that there was a real revival down there, in that setting down there. And then finally come to the point where they were going to take my ministry and excommunicate me. So we decided to move to Wahanding, Ohio, New Order Christian Fellowship. And what a blessing that has been. I believe it was 16 years spiritually. We were there for a while, and then we get together with the youth. And we teach them before we would baptize them. And I remember I got so convicted, because there we taught, Wahanding teaches you have to have the new birth before you get baptized. If someone didn't have a clear testimony, they weren't going to get baptized. So they had to have that new birth experience. And I started getting convicted. I was like, I never was baptized. Had never had the believer's baptism. So I went and talked to the ministry about it, and this was a total different thought, and I decided I'm going to be very patient and see if we can make this work out. So I waited for 10 years for baptism. There's times we'd talk about it, and then we'd kind of drop it, and then there's other times it'd come back up on the table, and we'd talk about it. So I praise the Lord. 2 years ago, Wahanding as a church come to the agreement that whoever is not born again needs the believer's baptism. And so I was baptized actually the same evening Mose was. Eli Yoder, some of you know Eli Yoder, the other minister there, one of the other ministers. And so there's a lot more that could have been said. But I thank the Lord for the keeping power in our lives as we went through this journey. And then some probably ask, why are we no longer at Wahanding Church? And I just want to say this. We have different visions, and I want to bless them. So I have a desire to be a part of faith. It's been such a blessing, the time we've been here. And I like to be a servant here at Faith. And I like to open my life up. If there's anything in my life that you see, please come talk to me. Because I have one goal, and that is to be with my Lord Jesus. So there's this one song I told my wife as soon as I got converted. There's this one song that I would like to have sung when I die in my funeral, and that is Amazing Grace. So I didn't know if the song leader could lead that song yet. But that is my desire, just our desire, to walk with the Lord and be a part here and be a servant here. Lord's blessings.